The sick were anointed with oil, and some were healed. Sometimes, daily, we priests anoint the sick in hospitals and nursing homes with sacred oil, and they are healed. If not in the body, at least in the soul. Anointing of the sick is a sacrament of healing, one of the seven that Christ gave to his church. The gospel text is a prelude to what is a daily reality in the church today. Anointing, or extreme unction, the word unction is the Latin of anointing, is a sacrament given to Catholics who are seriously ill, or in danger of death, or with some life-threatening illness. It's not meant for people with a sore toe or the common cold. They can receive a blessing. This sacrament is reserved for grave situations, not to mention those who are dying. And hence, it's sometimes referred to in the context of the persons in extremis or at the extreme end of their life. It conveys primarily healing to the soul and remits sins if one is unable to confess. It grants peace of mind, firm resolve, and takes away fear and anxiety. It sometimes also heals the body as well. How often can one receive it? Well, as often as necessary, provided one's situation changes. Someone becomes worse, or they get better then get sick again. All priests have remarkable stories of the efficacy and power of this simple sacrament, whereby the ill person is anointed on the forehead and hands, and elsewhere if appropriate. I recall one parishioner who was largely bedridden, and every winter she would get a terrible flu. And the doctors could do little for her, along with the staff, apart from making her comfortable. I'd be called to anoint her, give her the last rites, and remarkably, the day after, or thereabouts, she'd be up sitting and smiling and doing her knitting again. And this would go on periodically. We got to the point where when she fell ill, they would call the priest rather than the doctor. For God wanted to keep her well, and he did, for many, many years. I recall how many times that she was anointed, perhaps it was over 20 times. But eventually that day came, when she passed from here to there. Sometimes people, as they pass, or just beforehand, seek this sacrament, or there's a longing for it. I recall one story of a person who, in the palliative care of the hospital, was meant to have died, but day after day, without food or water, they managed to hang in. This elderly lady was just wasting away, but for some reason she couldn't pass. She just didn't die. Now, after about 10 days, the daughters finally thought of, maybe we should call the priest. So when he arrived, asked the family, did your mother want to be anointed? Oh, suppose so, Father, she was a Catholic. Well, she is a Catholic. And you haven't bothered to call the priest till now? No, we just kind of forgot. The priest then ministered the last rites. And within an hour, the lovely lady had passed. I think she'd been waiting for God's healing presence to take her home. Their care of the sick is not just one of the works of mercy by which we shall be judged. It's also a ministration of the presence of Christ to others. One person who came to realize this was Saint Camillus, whose feast day is today. He was an Italian of somewhat noble bearing, sad family. Mum died young and dad was very much caught up in the military. He had little money, but back in the 16th century, if you came from good stock, you could either have a career in the church or in the military. He chose to follow his father's example. He became an officer and produced great skills and managed to do quite well in his service. But he fell into an addiction. When money, the check payment would be given, he went on a binge and drank too much and gambled away all he had. In fact, he picked up a gambling addiction. There's only five real addictions. The big ones with the internet now, which is a pandemic, but he had a gambling addiction. I just learned the other day, interestingly, the Japanese kind of banned gambling. Not a bad idea. Anyway, he would binge and spend all he had and eventually fell into moral disarray, had to leave the army, and became rather sick. Ended up in the hospital of St. James, which was really a hospice back then. And things weren't going well. Now, with regards to hospitals, it's good to focus that we are living in an age of marvelous medical facilities. I know we whinge about issues with regards to hospital and medical staff, but think back to 100 years ago, or 120 years ago. You know, we didn't have the pain relief or analgesics or anesthetics that we have today. A broken leg or an operation involved real pain. And it was excruciating. Today we live in a world of, you know, much pain relief, but that hasn't always been the case. In the past, when you had to have an operation, which was the last option on the table, it was serious business because of the pain involved. Often people would pass out on account of that pain, for the body has an inbuilt trip switch that shuts you down, but some didn't, and it would have been horrific. The other aspect of a hospital that we take for granted is the word itself. It comes from the Latin hospes, meaning guest. And originally, the hospital was a simple hospice, a place where you could be a sick guest, and there you had to be cared by family and friends. And sometimes medical staff would pass around through the hospice where the sick people were being cared for. But generally speaking, the hospitals, especially in the 16th century, were very poorly run. In fact, you wouldn't have called them a hospital. And that's where poor Camillus ended up, suffering excruciatingly. He had a leg wound that wouldn't heal. And eventually, through his sickness, he came back to God, had a conversion, and then thought, I'll give my life to God. And after a homily, a good sermon, went off to the Franciscans, the Capuchins, asking to be admitted into their order. But on account of his history and his illness, he was refused. The leg wound, which was lymphedema, became problematic. So he went back to his old hospital and sought healing and help, which came in a remarkable way. God healed him so that he could heal others. Camillus would become a founder of a religious order, a nursing order, called the Order of Clerks Regular, or named after him, the Camillians. They were young men who would go into the hospices to care for the sick and the needy. And they wore a long black habit, like a cassock, a satin, and on the front of it, they had this big red cross. His experience in the military and wars led Camillus also to establish a group of healthcare workers who would assist soldiers in the midst of the battle. And in 1594, Camillus led his religious to Milan, where there was a battle. A few years later, the Camillians were helping the wounded in the fields when their tent containing all their equipment and supplies was utterly destroyed by fire. When they went back, they found only one thing remained. Standing up on a pole was the habit that one of the brothers had left there, and the habit had not been touched by the fires, and the big red cross stood out as a sign, a blessing from God that this red cross, especially in the midst of battles, would be God's protection. And my good friends, that's the origins of the red cross. In order to provide healing for both body and soul, Camillus sought to become a priest. He was inspired by St. Philip Neri and was ordained at 34 years old. Interestingly enough, the bishop to ordain him was the last bishop standing in England during the Protestant Reformation, Thomas Goldwell. He would therefore go on to heal people's souls as well as bodies, and nursed them up to the point of his own death at the age of 64 on this day in 1614. St. Camillus inspires us always to care for the sick and those in need, for he is the patron saint of nurses, physicians, and those with gambling addictions. St. Camillus,